This is the quiet part of our time. I'm glad it also says, be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah.
I'll sit in on that one. Well, I have very loving memories of my last wonderful time with you. I took them back with me on my tours in different places, and I've spoken many times of the flow of blessing I sense as here this morning, this evening. And thank you for letting me be with you again. Now we can each of us only share in what ways God has become the real self he is to us, that's all. Because if I understand it right, the whole universe is one person in action, one person in love-saving action. And the whole meaning of us is to be in that relationship by which he's doing some of that, fulfilling some of that saving action by us, by which he is himself again. By us. Now that meant for me, I have to stop back there, see any other way. I had first to be brought into the condition in which I permanently knocked myself. I'm Jesus Christ in a human form. Big thing to say. That we humans are God in human form. That's a big thing to say. See, I couldn't act as God unless I know it is God acting by me, could I? I have to know it's God acting by me. I'm acting as God. You see, that's exactly what we need to do. When Jesus, in a famous incident, said to a fig tree in passing, don't have no more fruit on you again. He likes fig trees like everybody else, but he had a lesson to teach by this one. So he withered it up. In Mark 11, and when they came next day, Peter said, look, the trees withered up. But Jesus said, you do the same. Huh? I'm to do the same as the Son of God did. He said, you operate the faith of God. The expression in my King James is, have the faith of God. There is operating, as God functions, fulfills his believing manifestations, you fulfill. You act as God. Strong, isn't it? They went straight on and said, just as he said to the king tree, he said, if you've got the mountain, you say to that mountain, don't ask God to. You say to the mountain, be there and we'll get the tree. And don't doubt in your heart, and you have what you said. So he's saying to it, you act as God. Strong measure, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And he said, whatsoever you desire. That's pretty big. I think he trusts us far too much. That's his show, not mine. whatsoever you desire, when you pray, it's incidental. Believe you receive it. Prayer is incidental. Faith is fundamental. When you pray, believe you receive it. And the actual tense, the original tense says, you received it on the spot. That's how, our brother says, how we lived for years. I know that first of all somewhat through my friend Reese Howells, who was my friend for 20 years. But I had to do it myself. You can't sit by and see anybody else. And God forces you to quite a way when you've got to do it by yourself. As we did it by ourselves, but here's God, he's been coming ever since. I refer when I started that to about 1931, before some of you were here. It's precisely the same, because the whole meaning is this living person re-expresses himself to people, in people, as people. And they are expressions of deity. Something in this.
Amen.
You see, I had to find that out for myself when I've been through the first precious steps of salvation through grace. They're precious enough. They're the revelation of God's Spirit. When I move through those, and he who becomes a distant figure in a book become the living person to me, of course, as he does when you're saved by grace. And I made the early first elementary commitment. I never commit myself again. Poor me, he's got me. I wriggled and screamed, I can't get out. I've got a book called Once Caught, No Escape. I wouldn't waste the time committing myself. What marvelous he's committed himself to me. What I gave, he took it, and took him good and hearty. And doesn't let go again. I don't believe in and outside. I don't believe in it being his today and not tomorrow. I know nothing like that. I know a total permanency. Because poor me, he's grabbed me. Didn't I grab him? He grabbed me. The thick of the faith is the grabber's grabbed. But you've got to know it. You've got to know it. So my commitment was many years ago. And then I began God's power came upon me. I began to witness in British Army. I began to witness of souls. I lost earthly promotion, but I got some heavenly promotion to it anyhow. And same in my college days, and God broke through, and we started that movement called the Intervarsity Fellowship. You spread to the world today. And then I got this call to Mission Field. Well, think I have said about that? Why? What could be more wonderful than God say, you go where you never heard about me? You can't have it? It's the highest thing on earth. Yes. When we were in British Army, we used to say the highest thing would be in the front line for our country. I used to say to myself, well, the best thing would be on the front line for Jesus. That's where Jesus heard and preached. And that's where he sent me. And that's why I moved in for 10 years, you know, in the Ituri forest, about 1,000 miles of forest in Central Africa, with many precious people there. What we talk about as our black gold. That's why I had to get these things into focus. I haven't got a holy in focus. I had a relationship, but not a replacement. I had a relationship. I hadn't got a union in which I'm not I, but he. I hadn't got that. I got a relationship. If the fall gave us a relationship, at least Jesus Christ came back to it. Because the fall parted us from God. If there had been no fall, there had been no parting. And then we would just have been always expressions of God. So you see, that's what, you get that, don't you? That's what a son for. A son is to re-manifest the Father. The simple reason is, a universal person is universal. He only can move, he has agencies of moving. Otherwise he's universal. He must have some form by which he can re-express himself. The simplest example is that. Electricity has been here a long time, long before you or I knew about it. You don't know where it is. What is it? I don't know. When it found a lamp, oh, here I am, I'm light. I'm a lamp. We call a lamp, then he comes to light. But he has to have a lamp to have a light. Or then a wire and a power or something to do these funny things. So you see, a universal power should only operate when it has its means of manifestation, and the Son is the means by which the manifest Father has manifested. And that common looking person on earth, Jesus, common carpenter, who knew who he was, who knew who he was, except those who had ears to hear and eyes to see, just a few. And a few wonderful things he did. And he would act as a total man. As I said, there was never a bigger egotist than Jesus Christ. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the door, I am the life, I am the good. I am. Look inside him. And they said to him, how do you do that? Oh, I know nothing about myself. I know nothing. I do what I see the Father do. What's that mean? They thought Father's up there, of course, somewhere. And they said, how do you make these strong statements like the Sermon on the Mount? Oh, I said nothing about myself. As I hear, I speak them. Hear who? So this terrific person was a nothing person. To be a something, you've got to be a nothing. That's the thing. you pass from wrong something to right something. That's a person. And then at the end of his life, when he had to do things outwardly because he wasn't inward yet, he said, I've not come to be out there, I've come to be in here. I've come to come in you in the Spirit. I said, that's where he talked at the Last Supper, going to leave them. And then they say, oh, show us the Father. thinking he's up here, you know, he said, have I been so long time yet, has someone not seen me, Philip? Me? This was a man. And then he said, this, he has seen me, has seen the Father. So the Son really expresses the Father. And then John says, as he is, so are we in this world. Therefore, if we're expressions of deity. And I'm only a real person when I know I'm that person. I'm not a real person until I hear about it, that's a start, or read about it, or believe about it. Believing has a dissolve, become knowing. The great letter on union in the Bible is 1 John. And the last chapter, believing disappears because I know. That's believing. Because believing dissolves, I know. So you only are what you know you are. And then you operate as what you are. And here's the purpose of song. I didn't find that out because I didn't understand, because the Father separated me. So here was the Father, and here was the Son, and here was the Holy Spirit. He had come to me, so that much I knew. And I had adapted to the Spirit, and God had used me in power. But still, he was somewhat a relationship. I wanted a replacement. I wanted him to replace me. Not be side by side with me, it's not good enough. I didn't want Christ for me, or by me, or with me, or in me. I want him as me. Christ is me. That's not what it is. Because that's what he made for. That's what Jesus was. You see me? No, you see the Father. I look like a Son. No, I'm the Father. The whole deity is Christ by me. And then John says, that's what you are. As he is, so are we in this world. I didn't know that. It's too far on for an unsaved person to know. It's pretty good far on when you just get saved, aren't you? Because you've been so far away, that's a step into a relationship. And I got that far in Africa. He was my Savior, he was my Lord. I had the Spirit, and I was operating. I was delighted to fling my wife over to Jesus and live among the Africans. That was nothing except honor. But I hadn't got any focus somewhere. And I saw it in that scripture which said in 1 John, in Galatians 4:19, he said, Paul said to his Galatian converts who had gone some way, they'd gone some way, they had the Spirit, had the justification, and got there, he said, I travel in the birth of Christ is formed in you. Now that caught me. I said, I'm taking Christ to them. I had to learn the language, and of course, all that means fairly primitive, I'm living all those parts out. But it didn't say, I bring Christ to you, Christ formed in you. And that's what they're using a birth illustration. He says, I travel in birth. So Christ is formed in you. Oh, I said, that means in other senses, one who starts like an embryo in you becomes a fully formed person. I said, my, if a fully formed Jesus Christ is in me, there's not much extra room for me. Ain't much room for two there. Oh, I saw something. If a fully formed Christ is in me, where's me? I don't know. That's exactly where are you when this happens. That's what that means. I didn't know that, you see. Because I've been duped by the devil through the fall to think of there's something in my self-development. The devil's Mr. Self for self. He's Mr. Self without God. Run your own show and do your own best, which is your worst. That's the devil. The devil's not an unpleasant person. He's highly respectable, but he's self for self. There's good being running about. You've been one too. So have I. He's self for self, self for self. Out of that come all our sins and failures, but that's what he is. So I run my own self. And he got us infected by that through the fall, as we run our own selves. So I was caught up by that. I thought, oh, I must be a better self. In Africa, I thought, well, this, to be what I must have some love, so to have a new love relationship with my fellow Africans. I must have more faith, we're talking about that. I must have more power, have more victory, have more love for my fellow missionaries, and all the usual pressures of the flesh and so on. And that's where God said to me, you're got it all wrong. And that's where he said that tremendous word to me, which initially through the revelation would mean to you, God is love. See, I didn't know the whole universe is one person. I do now. The whole universe is one person manifested. I didn't know that. Well, God is love. But God's the person, isn't he? So love isn't a thing, it's he. But love's everywhere. Atoms love each other. Animals love each other, life's full of love, beautiful, misused love, all rightly used. Therefore God's everywhere and everything. If God is love, by this form of love is some form of God. Oh, he's a definitely bigger person, I understood. And straight away I got cut off because I thought I'd have love. You never have love because I've got the lot. He's the most greedy person in the universe. I'm glad he is. Then he doesn't give bits, he gives the whole. That's himself. Not a bad gift. And the same at that time, power. I needed power. I thought power was in different things and came out of Jesus Christ. But I said, Christ is the power. No, that power is a person. If Christ is the power, Christ is the person. He's the Father manifested in his Son form. So power is a person. Well, power is everywhere. Power is everywhere. So Christ is everywhere. Everything must be some form of Christ. I haven't seen that. One person expressing multitude of forms. I didn't know that. That's where you get your life in harmony. When you are operating in relation to one and as that one, you're in harmony. Because we're made for one. The hunger for one. That's what we hunger for. That's what we're talking about. The one, that's the one. Because we come out of, we're part of the one. We come back to the one. When you're saved, you've just begun to come home. To one. Just begun. And that's what he said to me. And what you are, all you are is an old tin can. That's all you are. Well, they get polite of him, aren't they? He said, you're just a vessel. Shouldn't you become loving, or you become your power, you become anything. You're a vessel. Only in other words, you're only a tin can. You rattle too much. Stop rattling. Give me a chance. I learned something. I learned that a human is only a container and nothing else. A human has no nature. Just the devil made us think we have nature. We have no nature. We have the nature of the deity operating by us. That's all we are. And I listed them all together. The Bible said we're a vessel. That's not a container. The Bible said we're a branch. A branch hasn't got a nature. It's expressing the vine. The Bible says we're a temple. The temple isn't the point. The point is the God in the temple. The temple is there just to manifest the God. The Bible says we're slaves. Slaves are owned by bosses. They just do the stuff of the boss. And Paul said, Romans, every human being is a slave. Depends on which God, the sin of righteousness. So I began to catch on. And then I began to see the fruit, the Garden of Eden. I began to see, of course, what happens when you eat the fruit goes inside you. So the symbol of the Garden of the fruits, the Garden of Eden, what you take goes inside you. Now the Bible distinctly says, if Adam and Eve had taken the right fruit, they'd got eternal life. Eternal life isn't a fruit, it's a person. So once we know that fruit symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ, if you took the right fruit, you've got Jesus Christ in you, which has happened to all of us, if we know it. It's happened to all of us, unless you know it. And I didn't know it then fully. It won't operate. You only operate what you know. However, that's it. But if you're taking the right fruit symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ, so taking the wrong fruit symbolizes Satan. I never knew that Satan lived in us before. I didn't know I was run by a false deity. And that's why I was self-centered and not. It wasn't me. Because my humanity was just beautiful. The devil only stole me. He didn't make me. I'm beautifully made. Satan messed me up on Ruth and God's unmessed me, that's all. Then be back again, that's all. I'm beautiful, so are you. Don't you run yourself down, run yourself up. If you run yourself up, you run your neighbor up too for a change. You love yourself, you love your neighbor. If God thinks you, thinks good of you, think good of yourself. And then think good of your brother too. But, I didn't know. We're beautiful. I didn't know the human contained, somewhat like today, the computer and the programmer. You modern folks know more about that than I do. Computers do wonderful things, only if they're programmed. They can't play chess unless they're programmed to play chess. They're going to beat you. They can't do these mathematical equations that they're programmed to. What they can program, they can do. We are containers programmed, and our program is a deity. Which deity? And we saw him as a false deity. We had to, because you've got to learn sense. You've got to learn sense by doing the wrong thing, adopting it, and then changing the right. The way you learn the profession is you learn how not to do it before you learn how to do it. You're not competent. She said, I don't use my tools that way, I use them this way. I don't cook that way or cook this way. At least I hope you women know that for husband's sakes, anyhow. You don't practice medicine that way, practice this way. You've got to discard the wrong to fit on the right. So we're operating from the right. Well, like so, we had to go the wrong way. So it's a man's fact. We had to be self-centered selves. So, but we are not ourselves. We're expressing this for self-centered, this which is Satan. Self-loving, self-gratifying, self-seeking self. He hid that truth, he didn't even know it. You see, he pretends to be Mr. Self-Sufficient Self. He's only a servant of God, always laughing at the devil. God laughs at it. We talk about devils. God laughs at it. Read Psalm 2. When men rage with God, yes, God says, I sit in heaven and laugh, have a good old laugh, those silly folk. I just use them to manifest my son, that's all. God uses evil to manifest good always. So when you have evil, have a good laugh. I've been laughing at communism for a long time. No fuss about communism. It's shown out Jesus Christ. There's a vast turn back today to Jesus Christ, well, because we disillusioned that other stuff, we see the rottenness of it. And the rottenness has pushed us back to find some reality in living God. So communism is a good agent of Jesus Christ. We fuss, I don't fuss. And as you suffer under communism, the best people suffer of Jesus. Suffering isn't death, suffering is the way you take it. Or to know the poor person in prison is, are you in prison in here? When you're alive here, you love your prison. Haven't you read Charles Colson? And they're born again, he loved being in prison because he found prison could be where he could bring Jesus. There's no prison outside the soul. It isn't being a prisoner of sorrow to somebody. It's all your prisoner to yourself. Instead of being a prisoner to yourself, you're God's free person, you're giving heaven in the prison. You're giving heaven in the prison. So outside even, only precious to bring us inside goods, that's all. So, Satan had duped us. Satan made us think we're people. He was just Mr. Independent, and he affected us from Mr. Independent. We were really only operating his expressing himself. You get that? Humans never had a human nature. Still less some silly people teaching humans have two natures. Never had any nature. Humans express a deity in nature. Humans exist to express a deity in form, but you can express the wrong deity to start with. So when the Bible says, God said to me, you're a vessel. Which? Vessel of wrath or vessel of mercy? Oh, I found that two vessels. A vessel of wrath is the one Satan has got coming through with wrath. Vessel of mercy is Jesus Christ coming through with mercy. I found when you said you're only a branch of a vine, which vine? I am the true vine, you're the false vine. Oh, we've been fruit bearers of a false vine. And then the true one. I said when it says we're temples, the Bible says you can be the temple of the idol, 1 Corinthians 8. Or you can be the temple of the living God, 2 Corinthians 6. Which one? Which God's in the temple? Which boss? Are you a boss of sin? Are you a boss? Are you owned by sin or owned by righteousness? Sin, Satan, righteousness, Jesus Christ, of course. Now you see, it's only when I got understood, I was a God-possessed person with the wrong God. And what I thought was me wasn't at all. It was he expressing himself for me, by me. And Jesus hits it on the nail. Jesus is pretty good at hitting things on the nail. He saw a thing or two. And you get that? I saw that. I saw it in John 8. He was in controversy with the Pharisees who were opposing him. You read. He said, I do the things I see with my father. You do the things you see with your father. They were Jews. What do you mean? We're not born of fornication. God's our father. If God was your father, you'd know me, of course, the son, he said. Jesus said, if God was your father, you'd know the son. Then you read John 8:44. He said, you, that's us in our redeemed position, or of your father the devil, the lust of your father he will do. Well, I always thought I did my own lust. I was duped. All those lusts and hates and fears of his weren't mine at all. They were Satan expressing his Satanhood by me. I was just an agent. I didn't know that. Human expresses a deity, and the character of the deity, the lust of your father he will do. And when I saw that little bit of it said in 1 John, about it says that we're loving one another. And we in Christ love one another. Then he said, don't be like Cain, it's a serpent. Don't be like Cain, who was that wicked one, that slew his brother. I said, why didn't Paul John say of that wicked one? Why didn't he say don't be like Cain, that slew his brother? Because it wasn't Cain that slew his brother. It was a murdering Satan inside Cain. He expressed his murder through Cain. He was an agent for the murder. Jesus always said Satan the murderer from the beginning. And what's the point of this? If you have discovered in the revelation that you once were merely an expression of the false deity, you can know it is to be an expression of the true deity. It's a swap over. You find salvation only change of gods. And the whole part of salvation, it gives us thrills. We don't live through. We live to be lovers, don't we? Like you were praying, you live to be lovers for the world. God loves to reproduce to perfect everything. Give himself to see the perfect, which is what it works on. See, perfect people, but you're perfect when you've got a perfect Jesus Christ in you. That's when you're perfect. And we have a perfect Jesus Christ in you, we know you are. So it exists to have millions of perfected people because Jesus Christ really lives in perfect. And out of them will come one day a perfected world. God exists for the perfection of others. Now that's what it is to be a God person. You live for the perfection of the people. You're serving with others who will get it. That's what you're talking about today. Not, it's on the way we get the thrill, but the thrill is only kind of just a little ice cream. The meat is other people getting, other people, like the yearning of your prayer, other people getting. That's it. That's what God shoved me into for years. But you see how remembered it is? The gospel isn't getting a little bit of salvation. It isn't getting a little bit of sanctification. It's changing God's. You have the God of self-loving self, and you were pretty good specimen on him too, I tell you that, because I was too, so I know you. now we're expression of the self-giving God, so the self-loving God. Now that took me a trauma to get through. I don't get that through. Two traumas, if you like, two sufferings. One was the suffering of Fagio Sinner. Well, that's had to be. I mean, you're saved because we came to the bottom, didn't we? As lost sinners. When we came to the bottom, we see Christ replacing us. That's the precious blood. Now, most of us know the precious blood. Very few of us know the crucified risen body. After a long time, I puzzled, why is the redemption in Christ presented to us in two forms, the cup and the bread? The cup of blessing, which is bread, the blood, the broken bread, which is the body. Why blood and body? I saw it. Because salvation has two purposes. The total salvation is replacing deity taken by you. Salvation is getting you saved. It's getting you to be a permanent, natural person, and yet you're an expression of Jesus Christ. On the way, I say, you are the light of the world. The Bible says so. Well, I tell you you ain't light. I tell you you're darkness, you don't know. But this is a union. You wear the lamp of the light. When I come in here, I don't say turn on the lamp, do I? I forget the lamp or the light. You forget the lamp, so we are. We are our light, we are our light, we are really, we're the lamp. So united, that us by the lamp, the light, see, you forget the lamp, or the light, that's us. That's this life. We're not a deity expressed by us. Say the deity of darkness, the deity of light, which is the deity of love, of course. Now that's the second part. Now, thank God, we hear the precious blood. The precious blood is the kid's stuff, precious. Kid's stuff is your outer sins. Adult stuff is the fellow who produced the sin, which is Satan in you. Kid stuff is a product, the sins. Adult stuff is the producer. Kid stuff is the effects, the sins. Adult stuff is the cause, the Satan. You're no good unless you've got Satan out. You're no good if you've got your sins away and you've still got Satan in you. You're only good if both sins and Satan are out. And both righteousness and the righteous person, Jesus Christ, is in. And you know he's in. And you operate as a perfectly natural person. It takes you as he. You operate with a kind of wink. Life's so funny. When you get a profession, some of you ladies will say expert cooks, or teachers, or nurses, or engineers, or construction people or something. Now, what's the point? It gets you, doesn't it? You don't do a job from outside. Oh, I know how to do my construction stuff. I know how to cook. I know how to teach. Know-how's got you. What's the point? You don't keep saying, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher. You just teach. You don't say, I'm a cook, you cook. You don't just look inside what you are. You be it. When you're Christ, you forget Christ and let yourself. You forget Christ and let yourself. You be yourself with a wing. That ain't me at all. That's Jesus Christ coming to me. That's this life. Perfectly natural. So religion is nothing but people, because that's all there is in the world. The universe is one beautiful, marvellous person that we're worshipping. Marvellous, all things are him. An endless, beautiful person. And this beautiful person reproducing himself in beautiful persons. That's a joke. We're the joke. That's a joke. And we're part of beautiful person. All there is, all the rest is just circumference, disappears. Atoms and stuff disappears. We don't disappear, we're immortal. Made like him. Yes. That's all there is. So we've come home when you're spontaneous yourself. So religion isn't just being yourself, that's what you call it. I don't like the word religion. Christianity. If you're a cook, you just cook. Well, if you're a Christian, you just Christian it. That's Christ. You forget Christ and be yourself, that's Christ. Now that has to, I say, you live naturally. By naturally, but you know you are. Really, technically, that's what's called know-how. Like your profession, you live by what you know is your profession. You live by what you really know. Now we didn't even know that we were even expressing Satan where you were. If you look back at your born again, you know you were. If you look back now, sitting hard, you would say you were a product of self-centeredness, because that's all you were. Self-loving self, that's all you were. And so you can see who your father was, and the works of the lust of your father you were doing. What we have to understand is how, therefore, we've moved right over from being spontaneous expressions of the deity of self-centeredness, being spontaneous expressions of our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And we are He, living. That's the body of Christ. Now I talked about the blood. I said that's the beginning, because at the beginning you can't see what goes on inside you. You don't know about this inside you. But you do know your sins through the law. And the precious blood came to say, yes, I've taken those sins. Your sins take to hell. They damn you. They curse, judgment. That Jesus Christ hung there. You saw him hang there. That's that precious blood. That proved he died. And the Bible says you went to hell. Goes, don't get fussed about body. Don't be body mind. Don't get all fussy or sick. Say, yes, well, anyhow. You don't get well. Don't get well by saying I'm sick. If it works, I'm well always in God's purpose. Not anyhow. If you're firm on God's purpose anyhow, it seeps down here a good deal. Not always a good deal does. So don't commiserate people being sick. Tell them to praise God they're well. Don't go around praying for the sick. Pray that they may be praising God that they're not sick. We're not body. We're spirit. Our spirit is never sick. And our body gets a little busy, but the spirit operates by the spirit. Raise up him dead quicker than you walk the body. If you are in that spirit. You're in that spirit when you know, hey, there, I'm perfect in him, I want coffee the way. Oh, no, I'm one him. You find the coffee disappears. That's what I find. That doesn't always work so quickly as that, it often does. Anyhow, when it does, the doctrines are perfect in his health. So the death of Jesus wasn't the physical. The death of Jesus was his spirit went to hell. That's what death is. It's who I am. And this dies, what's that? There's better one coming in there, praise God. But what does matter? Who am I? Am I a spirit on route to prison? Satan. It's hell. Am I a spirit just made in prison on route to heaven? And Jesus went to hell. So Peter said, thou wouldst not leave, quoting of Jesus, thou wouldst not leave my soul in hell, thou wouldst not let suffer thy holy one see corruption. Up he rose. When he rose, he banged that door shut with a big bang. It remained bolted ever since. It's bolted your spirit if you've got Jesus. Hate that. There's no hell there. No sin there. God, you know that, don't you? That's the outer sin. But sins aren't the problem. Sin is the problem. Sin is the spirit of self-centeredness. Sin is the self-centered character which produces sin. Now that's not so clearly known. That's the body of Jesus. Why is that body so precious? Why did Paul say, remember, when that body hung there, you hung there. I want to talk about blood. He left that. He talked about the body in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, look there, he said, when that body hung there, you were there. His word was, if one died for all died. Why is it important you were that body there? Because your body is where the spirit was. There's one spirit within you. And in me. Our body is where our spirit was. And through the fall, in came this word, this false father operating. He's in there. Now it's an amazing statement. I think it's the greatest statement on one form in the whole Bible. It's the last verse of 2 Corinthians 5. When it says this, God made his son to be sin for us, not sins. Sins are the sins we did, and he died for them and went to hell and closed that door. Sin is that what produces sins. Sin is the person of Satan, the personality of self-centeredness, it's out of which all our sins come. That sin, God, where is that person living? The body, doesn't he? That holy body was in God's sight, the body of the whole world expressing Satan. It was Mr. Satan expressed by the body, that's Jesus Christ. God made him be sin. What's the point? Because if a sin is created in the body, when the body dies, out goes that sin spirit. So when that body died, out went that spirit for all of us. That's where you change God. That's why it's so important it says you were buried. Because there is a public attestation of no spirit there. We were buried, don't we? That same body didn't change, you see. We don't change. But if that same body came new spirit, his own Holy Spirit. Now see, that's where we changed over. We were operated by the spirit of the false deity. He's called the spirit of error. It's expression of the spirit of error, the spirit of worse than being Satan. He operated us, we produced his blood. He is out in the death of the body of Christ. And in the living body of Christ is the other one is. Now we're operated by God himself, his own spirit. He's operated by us. He's the one in the body. Now that's where you and I got another death. Maybe, please Lord, many of you have. You've had a death, Corey, that says you've had a death in a sense. You fell in your face a lost sinner. You died to your righteousness, didn't you? Get saved. You were the death of your righteousness. When there's no more death, no more righteousness, death, oh, thank you, you're my righteousness. Now you had to have a death to a misunderstood self. A misguided self. See, what I mean is, we've got the idea that we're something by ourselves, and we can better ourselves somehow, and do something ourselves. That's what Satan is. And while you're allowing our self-betterment, it's the spirit of Satan got here. Satan is the spirit of self-improving self. That's all he is. I see, we've been deluded. The human is nothing. It's a computer. It's operated by the programmer. It's marvelous faculties and capacities, but it can only operate when it's operated by the programmer. It's a deity. Not ourselves. Now see, we've fallen to see that it's something about the computer. It's about itself. It can't. And that, you see, where we're in the struggle and the new birth. This is where this second death comes. The struggle is, you're born again now, you want to do right now, you love Jesus. We had this wonderful time that you love Jesus. You want to do his will. You want to be like Jesus. You want to see you fall on the face a lot, don't you? Knock that down here. Another kind of fall on your face. You fall on your face because you can't make it work. And there's jealousies, and there's lusts, and hates, and there's fears. And in my case, my wanting more love, and wanting this, and wanting that, and got it. I was an inadequate self. Because, you see, I thought the self to be improved. Self never improves. I didn't understand that. I had a lie from Satan. I could get better. I never get better. That kept me in his hands. When I come in bed, I'm still in the hands of Mr. Self, I'm self Satan. And he hits me. And I can't stop myself. I can't fight him. So it's like a hopeless battle. And many Christians, you may do better, praise God, here. I was listening to the young person today. He said, oh, he's always been taught like a dog eating dog. There's two battles in this. There's no battle in this life. I walk in victory. I walk in silent victory. I walk in battle. Jesus Christ is fighting for me. Thank you. I just enjoy his battle, his victory. And the battle stuff, square out. I mean, battle in the sense of moving in to bring Christ to other people. I'm not talking about that, but somebody know. A battle is just this confused idea, well, I'm a new person, but what about this Satan getting his grab on me? Why, when I try to do good, does this get me? And here I am battling with my hates and fears and loves and doubts. What's the matter with me? And that's the second, I call it like a death has to come. A death, mixed up self. Not just a self, self-precious. But death to the idea that yourself was some sense of self-reliant self. That's Satan. And what you've got to say is, you're dead. You are dead. And your life is hidden Christ in God. That's the way. You are dead. Now you've got to say, you don't, the whole point is, that's where this faith you talk about. Faith has to see through appearances to reality. As you go on, all life is seeing through appearances to reality. This is faith by which we do our mission. Seeing through no money to forgive money, no people to forgive people. Souls left open lands, lost souls to save souls. We've done it for years, and see that here they are, through. Christ manifested through faith. So faith sees through the disturbed appearance to reality. Now you did it with your sins. If you're a saved person, you didn't look at your sins, you had to stop that way. You didn't get yourself looking down there. You said, no, I look at Jesus. And you transferred your sins to Jesus. And off went your sins. It disappeared in the blood of Jesus. It disappeared in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So see, there's a second area when you've got to say you're dead and you don't feel dead. You say, what about me? I got my temper, I got my lust, I got my worries, I got my dislikes. I'm a person thing. How can I say that? You better say what God says. Until you get to what you want. You've got to say what God says, just say because God said it. Here. If you say what God says, then the Holy Spirit will come and say, okay. He won't say okay till you say it though. Now that's a big thing to say. I'm dead, which means you're nothing to do with your self-response. You're dead to that. You don't talk about your self-response. Do I do this and should I do that? Why do I intend to call? I met a grand old fellow yesterday. Great big fat fellow. He's at the meeting, and I didn't think he'd see the responses. Apparently the fellow's still vapors or some weird stuff, I don't know what. in a good position. Anyhow, came up to me. He said, "Brother, we've got a little club that reads the book In His Steps. In His Steps, some of you may know it's a novel. It's following Jesus, but not being Jesus." I said, "Brother, you won't get two like that." He said, "No, I know we don't get two. We got wrong. We've got two. We don't, it doesn't work. We make resolutions, we can't keep them. Isn't following him." No, then he listened to me. "Oh," he said, "I'm Jesus." He didn't look like a fat old fellow. He said, "I'm Jesus. Look who you are." I said, "Ah, that's it." Didn't call him. "I'm Jesus." In other words, he said, "I'm not just a fat old fellow." He said, "I'm busy, you see. So I'm busy with my finances and all day." I said, "Good, you're meant to be. When you know who you are, when you know Jesus, Jesus running up your finances. Go and do them. Don't try and do them and then say you're in his steps." I mean, he saw it now. He jumped at it. Gave his hand, took his hand, take about two of my hands in it. Took it, gave me a great hand. See what I mean? See, when you say, I said it years ago, when I saw it, I said it. I'm dead. I know my God has nothing more to do with Satan and the world and that. That's out. I'm dead. That dead is dead. That's one side. The other side of the dead, you say, I'm alive. Now be careful. You yourself, you see, yourself never died. What you died to was the wrong concept of yourself, wrong idea of yourself to be yourself alive. Or you really died to that stuff. The course you came to say that you self-alarmed, self-seeking, self-enabling, all that sort of, that's what you did. That stuff, that self-centered, suffocated Satan, that's what you did die. You as a person are precious. So when you say you're dead, then you say, I'm alive. But wait a minute. The moment you say that, you say what Paul did. He didn't stop by saying, he said, I'm not Christ is. I believe, nevertheless I live, yet not I but Christ. He immediately replaced self by Christ. That's the secret. The old life was a self with Satan in it. The new life is self with Christ, a beautiful self, with Christ in it. And so you immediately say, I live, no I don't, live Christ is in me. That's replacement. He didn't say, I live and Christ here side by side of me. You say, I live in his Christ. He says, I live, yet not I. It means Christ replaced him, doesn't it? The real Paul is Christ. The real you is Christ. You've got to say it. You see the day and he's to say. When you say it, but saying is the way in which you say it. I'm taking caution by saying you believe it. Say the word of God. You believe it. I mean that, of course. When you say it, and affirm it, confess the mouth of salvation, the Spirit comes back and echoes to you. Think of that, yes you are, yes you are. Not always at once, that's just the point, you come. Because the Bible principle of faith in 1 John 5 says, he is believing on the Son of God, hath the witness in himself. The witness isn't the believing. You believe means I said it. I said I'm dead, I'm alive, Christ is in me, I said so. The witness is, think of that, yes you are, yes you are, yes you are. Now that's when you come free. Because a wonderful thing happens. You see, you'll know it if you know it. If not, I'm going to tell you. Before you know this, if you are Christians who love Jesus, you're ashamed of yourself under the yoke. You're afraid of yourself. Yourself is so much failure. Underneath, you're condemned. You feel, well, I say something, but there's so much in you it just shouldn't be. You've got an area of guilt and what about the temptations and so on? You were sort of inside trying to drag the people, because, like Paul says, oh, wretched man I am. You are the wretched man. You're a happy man, but you've got to be wretched to become happy. Paul was no longer a corrupt man. He was saved. You can be a saint and a wretched one. You've got to be, because the only way to happiness is through wretchedness. When you've got the wrong thing out, you get the right thing in. Then Paul saw it. Oh, he said, didn't I see? Now my point is this. I can't say more. When this is settled in you, who you are, you rise up. Why? It's healers here. Well, this is his show. This is a poor show. It's still her show. They're on it. This is his show. It's beautiful. Every single thing. I'm expressing this beautiful light. But you see, it's only when you know you've got the light of certain. It isn't, oh, may I have it? No, 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 never again. It's a fixture. You don't doubt your salvation. You don't go say tomorrow, please, Lord, I say yesterday. I hope you don't. Please, Lord, I say tomorrow. Praise the Lord, you're saved, aren't you? Well, but praise the Lord, you're not you, but Christ. You say it anyhow, where you see it not. And he'd say amen to it a little later on. You say it. then you begin to get the freedom. You get yourself back. It's strange. You see, you've got confidence back now. Because you're confident in the real you ain't you at all, it's he in you. See, your confidence now, I'm not I, I'm he in me. I laugh at him, laugh. I think he has this poor taste. I look around, I think of him. But that's not for him. I think God's quite a funny fella. Taking people like you and me. But he does, anyhow. Now you take yourself back. Oh, I'm not his person. Now you begin to get confident. And don't be afraid of making your choices. Don't doubt your motives. Doubting means that yourself, that self's dead. You say that self is dead. Don't doubt my motives or my desires. Choose what you want. As I say something, choose what you want. It says God works in you to will and do. Well, then you will and do. He's operating, he's willing and doing. Of course, so you're willing and doing. Of course, you will and do what he that is a good pleasure. So you begin a whole new life of full confidence with a laugh. And when the people like that, they ask you, take me, somebody else in me. That's what Jesus said. When he laughed, he said, then me. I don't know a thing. There's my Father in me. He kept that private till he laughed. He said so. Because you say it too openly, you get bangs anyhow. You get a few more to say it too openly. That's it. Now you can live like that. And temptation becomes opportunity. You see, when I hadn't got Christ in me, I thought my temptation made me dirty somewhere. I had a lust I shouldn't have. I had a hate. I had a hurt. No. You're precious. Temptation is something outside draws you. Every man says to be drawn away by desires. We all got desires. All kinds. Beautiful desires. Now we're drawn in the wrong direction. The world sees that. We're drawn to hate. We're drawn to lust. We're drawn to fear. We're drawn to covetousness. That drawn comes outside. And when you understand, you don't kick around for temptation. When temptation, don't fight it. Say, well, the fact is, I just don't like that person. Don't say you did. Don't say, I don't like that person. You say, well, that's not really me. That's just my outer self. That's my flesh. My real self is Christ in me. And he is love. Then you say, all right, Lord, with your love, I'm loving a person I can't stand. I don't know how you stand them either. And they love. You see, you are the love. Because what you've got to know, when you know, you haven't got to find him. He's found you. When he's in you, you're you. So when the fear comes into fear, temptation means, but we're beautiful humans. We're meant to be in a world which lives for self. We are the light that shines in the world in a dark place. So that self gets at you. Of course, you can be afraid about this, or proud about that, or hurt about that, or have a desire about that. That pulls you. And what it does, it makes you forget for a moment the Christ in you. Well, for instance, Christ isn't afraid, is he? But you are. You forget your Christ in you. Oh, I'm afraid of that. Now, don't condemn yourself. Don't say you don't fear. Say, of course I'm human, I fear. Accept it. When you accept it, he pulls the teeth. He can't bite you because you accept it. And then when you accept your freedom, where's the made Christ? That's not me. That's just the fact of myself. You're my courage. With your courage, I'll do it. And your very fear is given a chance to Christ an opportunity to prove his courage. So pray for more temptations. Give Christ more opportunity to get through you. The more you hate, the more his love comes through. The more you worry, the more his fear comes through. The more your weakness, the more his faith comes through. So you welcome your temptations. Don't run away from them. You're a new person. Your temptations are part of the way in which God re-manifests himself to our weaknesses, which are not, temptations are not sins. How do I know? Jesus was tempted in every place, and Jesus didn't sin. So temptations are negative pulls, which give you a chance for positive replacement, like Christ. That's all. So you see, they're part of the assets of Christ, not liabilities. Temptations do not take condemnation. Do not take it. Don't apologize for temptation. Have a laugh. Say, oh, God took me a good time. I mean, I won't do it on me here, but I have to travel a good deal, and my journey is by air, and my hosts are very kind to me, but they're so kind to leave in about 10 minutes to get to the airport, when I need half an hour. So I get tension. Now, God isn't tense, I am. As I sit in the car, about 10 minutes of tension, I say, you silly fellow, isn't God managing that plane? You silly, God say, you silly fellow, why don't you leave it to me? I don't sit, I have a laugh. I say, sorry, it took me 10 minutes, that's all. I think God enjoys our tests. You enjoy them too. One thing, it would have been silly if I said, I won't do it or something. Temptations give you a chance for Christ's release. If live up and up, not down and down. Sin is the occasional time that you really do it. Sin you mean to do it. We don't often mean to do it. When you do, don't stay there. Get up and say, praise God, that's given me a chance to see the precious blood. Get up and what's it? There's sin's not there, the precious blood's there. And don't you then say, oh, I'm the kind of person to do that again in what should I do? You tell God, I'll do it again 10 minutes that you keep me. You get on keeping me now. Put the heat back on him. Now that's where you move on, having that time of course now. But that's where you move on to the faith we talk about today. See, when you've begun to prove to yourself that faith means replacement in you, that your sins were replaced by Christ's righteousness, and your inner self, inside your inner self, the wrong deity, yourself, always all right, it was just misused. You were cheated thinking you had some self-reliance, forever that was a deceit. It was really Satan producing self through you. When you say, that self of mine which had Satan and the God of self-centered, now has Christ in me, then you find faith is substance. Faith is substance. Then you move that into our situation. There's a big stretch for me when I found darkness is the agency for light. God needs darkness that he may shine light through it. You couldn't get a door without good darkness. Thank God for your darknesses. We send our light and shake your head of our darknesses. This world's full of it, and that when I can catch it, that God meant this world in its freedom to have its effect. God isn't a source of darkness, he about our misused freedom. But he means this world that can learn lessons to have our effect. So we have our difficulties, home difficulties, financial problems, all kinds of people we yearn over, all kinds of things, all the hippies, aren't they, problems. Without going to the media and finding a few more. Now, when I get the habit, now, I'm a human, I never like it. I always thought negative. See, we talk about unbelief. Unbelief is negative believing. It's believing wrong way around. Unbelieving is evil. What you believe holds you and you contribute to it. What I believe is evil, it holds you and you always look to contribute to it. Now, I always thought that way. And people, wait a minute. Oh, I don't like that. Wait a minute, God, I don't like it. Wait a minute. You made everything to be. It came out of the fall, but you made everything that happened. You made it. Everything is God perfectly meant it. You meant this. Why? Because you put that here because you're going to produce a new revelation of your glory in that situation. And you're going to do it by me. And that's what I had to learn. That the marvel of God, when he made me his agency, more than agency, he made me his expression, he handed me a blank check. Says, now I operate through you, you fill in exactly what you want in each occasion. Let's go then check the next thing. I've been doing it for years. And you see, so it changed your whole prayer life. I haven't time to go into the great detail. You see, instead of praying about a thing, I weigh it up. See, this is what we found, you were talking about, when I had taken on our mission 30 years ago, it was very weak. So weak. We had 35 missions left, it was the year of the Great Depression. 35 missions called, and we had $5,000 for 35 missions the whole year. Didn't go very far. I've divided it all I had. We were at bottom. We were finished. But I had to learn my own. Prayer isn't what I want happening. It's what God's after. The whole universe is God's infinite love pressure through good and evil. He's pressing itself through every circumstance. It's God in action. And it isn't God asleep and we awake. It's God awake and stirring up. Out of our free power, he served us up by confronting us with disturbed conditions. Now see, when we saw that, when we sat there, I won't give detail now, we saw our commission was been to go anywhere in the world with the gospel, but we were a tiny group, and what were we to do? Well, we said, we know what God says to us, we're to go anywhere in the world, we'd better go and do it. How did you do it? By faith. And that's how we first learned our faith. And how we learned about putting the amount in the check. Because we are very weak, and we said, what does faith mean? It's always talk serious. What does faith mean? We followed up the story of Joshua, because Moses had been like our founder and died. We were like Joshua following him. And we saw in that first chapter in the book of Joshua, it says that God had an interview with him. It said, now you cross the Jordan, Joshua. You take him to the land, and I'm with you, and you meditate in the word, and so on. That's theory. We're not in practice. We found that the first nine, there's a paragraph mark, which means the interview between God and Joshua ceased. Then it says this, Joshua called together the officers of his army, big army in those days, said, prepare you food, for in 3 days you'll cross this Jordan. We said, on what authority did Joshua say 3 days? God hadn't said, we saw it. We saw, God gives us a blank check, we put the amount in it. I see you're going, so I'm going to be stopping. But you're learning a great secret, you get this. We've been there ever since. You put the amount that suits you. Joshua put in 3 days, and across the Jordan it is. We've been putting lots of things in. Well, we've been mounting, as you heard, from 3 or 35 missions, adding 10, next year 15, next year 25, next year 50, next year 75, money, houses. We don't care about that. We start people with Christ. We're here to see Christ as well. Sud used to say in Africa, we're out here to see Jesus Christ running about inside black bodies. He surely is, and white ones too. We're seeing it today, praise God, we're seeing it. Precious people in Indians, precious Indonesians, precious Chinese, precious Africans, and Europeans, Germans, even French, and they're tough ones. Jesus Christ walking among them. And precious even some English, and they're tough ones too. Now, that's what we live for. See, Christ reliving his life in people. That's what all the rest is periphery. But we get the periphery as we need it. We get through for the money and so on as we need. I see God moving in. So that's it. So, I say to you, life is real fun when you see this. Prayer at one time used to be rather bored, the boredom or the burden. It's not that boredom or burden, it's fun to me now. Why? Because prayer is strategy to me. Prayer is I sit back, maybe in the bed, wherever I am, I think, what about that person? Well, the fact is, that person isn't saved. And I'm talking about somebody who confronts me. I'm talking about anybody, somebody who confronts me. I say, well, then God, you put it there. I know what's after. I'm here with saying, God, you've got that fellow saved and it's finished. And I say, so that's all I don't speak to him. I speak the word of faith. The word of faith is saying what you see God doing. On earth, you speak the word of faith and do it. I'll take the book, I take it. I'll take his faith, I'll take it. My hands will take it. In this case, it's taking the Holy Spirit. I'm operating on the level of the Holy Spirit, and I'm saying, God, you're producing that money. You're producing those workers for this new field. You're producing the soul of finding Christ. You're producing. We say so. Dozens of 50 years we've been saying it again, and here God comes through. Now, I tell you, it's adventuring, your whole life will change. You'll be continually adventuring. You'll be seeing things and people which are your personal. And you say, I don't like that. No, you're not meant to like it. It's meant to wake you up. Not meant to like it. I don't like that. Now, God, you meant that because you're a person who reverses likes, dislikes, and put them into life. You reverse them. By me. Now, you say, I'm not going to pray. I've stopped praying long ago. It's a waste of time for me. I prefer to believe. It's not that. I used to pray long and sleep less. Now I believe quickly and sleep more. Well, the Bible says, say. The Bible doesn't even say pray. It says, say out the mountain. Then you go far as prayer. That's all I do. Now, do you know what I mean? I settle up for myself, as a free person, what I like to have in a situation. I weigh it up. I don't do it foolishly. Sometimes I may think it's the time. If it's with other people that talk about together, we do it as a team. And that takes longer, of course. Then when that moment comes, maybe quick, we say, God, I've settled that matter. That cash is there. I'm going to see it come. I do that many times, because we don't ever appeal for funds. It comes from God. That cash is there. It's done dozens and dozens and dozens of times it did. We had to do some big building extension in our London headquarters, reason for certain reason. And the firm, of course, is a non-Christian firm, was doing a thing. And they said, have you got the money? No, they said, well, we have a good Heavenly Father. Firms don't believe in Heavenly Fathers. They went back to the board of directors. They turned back and said, we'll trust the same Father as you. Fortunately for us, we've been paid off. Of course we have. You see, I'm talking practical to your life. Put it down into your life. And they had to say that word of faith about that particular need you have on your heart about a person or thing, and you're still putting it in. But don't you repeat it. See, prayer means it's been done because there's no future with God, no present. It's done, and now you add to your word of faith a kind of inner sense. It's done. So add to your word of faith, it's done, and that will settle into you. And you begin to say, it's done. That's the agency of faith. Human faith was the Holy Spirit comes through. Precisely the same as at creation. Creation is perfect faith. Creation was the Son operating. How did the Son operate? He didn't ask. He observed what the Father needed. All his creation was let there be. Not get there be. Most of our prayer is getting. No, letting. Letting. Do you understand? God is like air pressing through. All we want is to get the blinds up. And even if after the air is coming, get through the window anyhow. It's an open window. We're pressing through. Don't get it through. And what's the trouble is our blindness, which is seeing the negatives and the positives. Now, at the creation, let there be meant that the Son knew the kind of ways which the Father wants to press through in the meditation. The creation. Let there be. Didn't say yet. Let it be. That's all. That's what you say. You say, let there be. That's a fact. Thank you. Let there be. That's a fact. That things happen. Say it. That's all. And you go on repeating this kind of thing, and once you die, don't go back. You can go back and remind yourself you said it, but don't ask for it again. And never say, didn't it happen? Because you're saying it did happen, but don't give yourself all God the lie. If it's happened, it isn't a question of you how it happened, it happened. If it hasn't happened, it still happened. Don't just give in. And you find God comes to that this resolve. Well, I must be stopping. But that's the way we operate, and we operate as a mission in doing it, as opening fields and individuals and so on. But I always have to start at the beginning, because it really, the first practice is that you won't get through until you've seen what I've said, what God said, and you say, I am dead, when you don't feel this like being dead. And I am alive, no, I'm not alive, Christ is in me, he's the real me, and you said so, because of the Galatians that said so. And as you said so, that has come in his own way, the Spirit has confirmed it. See, many of us have baptism, so in the beginning, that's the first indication of power. Power's got to power a person. You've got to enlarge your power. If you have baptism spirit, that's the power. But the person's not matter. You can't run life by power, live by the original person doing all kinds of original things as you. So you move on from the baptism of power to the recognition that power is this person, he's the original person in me, and he's operating now. I'm a free person. If I'm a free person, I find he's operating by me, and so on and so on. When you've got that faith, you can transfer that faith to outside things. Because you'll prove it yourself, you can now prove it in other situations. And you begin to be an operator by faith. So I better stop at that, I think. Thank you.